to a well-known text. Some of you may even have this text memorized, especially if you've been hanging around Brother Melvin. That's going to be the book of Psalms, chapter 23. Psalm 23. I'm going to try to get organized while you look for that passage. It's in the middle of your Bible. I forgot all about this speaker. My apologies. Psalm 23 and verse 1. I'm just going to read the first verse. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Unfortunately, with this verse and others like it, there are people in the world that jump to the end. I shall not want. That's a good part of it, right? I shall not want. Wouldn't you like to live your life without ever wanting or desiring things? I don't want to be really rich. I'd just like to have no bills. That'd be nice, right? Unfortunately, we live in a generation that falsely interprets this scripture. They preach what is called, commonly called, a prosperity gospel. That if you somehow connect in with God, all your problems are going to be resolved and you'll become rich in this world. Well, I don't know if you've done any reading at all in the Bible, and you're going to find out that the Christians, those that follow the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes get the short end of the stick. They don't always get all the blessings. It's not always peaches and cream. A lot of times it's sourdough. And sometimes there's no dough at all. Boy, if I became a Christian, everything was going to be peaches and cream. Everything's going to be great. But you know, you become a Christian, you find out there's difficulties in life. And so I would say it's a false interpretation to say, "Oh, I shall not want." It's written in the Bible. Yeah, sure is. I shall not want, right there in the Bible. You can read it. Also in the Bible, it says there is no God. But it says before that, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And if you read the scriptures, you're going to find that people make false assumptions about the scriptures. Make presumptions about the Lord Jesus Christ. I wrote down a few just to mention them. First of all, before I read those, I'd like to read a scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Listen to what Paul says here. He says in verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." That is a warning. That is a warning to Christians that there's coming a time when people, maybe people just like yourself, is more interested in somebody that will tickle your ears instead of speaking the truth to you. Let me tell you something, my friend, that if you pick up the cross and follow Christ, you can expect a cross in your life. Jesus said, if you follow me, you have to deny yourself. It's very clear if you read the Bible. There was a famous preacher, I can't remember his name. His wife had the big eyelashes, I forget his name. Baker. Yeah, James Baker, Jimmy Baker. Very wealthy. Got into fraud, schemes, ended up in jail. I got out of jail. I may not have the times right, please forgive me, but he got out of jail after 8 years or so, and he was interviewed by Larry King on CNN. I'm way past your age, so that was a long time ago. Very interesting. He said, Larry asked him, what happened and what was going on? He said, "I got blinded by riches. And as I had time in jail," when you're in jail, you got a lot of time to read the Bible. I guess so. And he says, "I read the Bible over and over again. And Larry," listen to his confession, "Larry, the Bible doesn't talk well of riches." I had a lot of doubts about the salvation of Jimmy Baker before he went into jail. But when he came out, I think he saw the light. Another thing about this is just added. He said the only person that came to visit him, no one in his organization came to visit him. The only one that came to visit him was Billy Graham. I now have more respect for Billy Graham, and I have a lot of respect for Jimmy Baker, having saw the light in prison. But the point is, people can get blinded by their surroundings. You can get blinded by religion. You can get blinded by the trinkets that people offer you. And the prosperity preachers preach, come to God and everything will be all right, especially if you give me your money. They're prospering, but I don't think you're going to prosper because you're getting up your wallet. I was at a meeting, and some of you brothers may have been with me years back. They had a tent meeting right here in San Antonio, big old circus tent. Went in there and they had a stage, huge stage. It had three ramps on it. Three ramps. You could have driven a forklift up there. And they had three massive plastic garbage cans across that thing. And they are preaching. And the preacher said, all right, it's time for an offering. Come up. And he had everybody march up them ramps. There was a lot of people in this tent. It was a big crowd. Marched up them ramps, and they're all putting their money in. They filled up those trash cans, three of them, halfway. That's a lot of money, even if you're only putting a dollar, but I think some people were putting more than a dollar. He says, that's not an expression of faith. These things aren't filled up yet. Everybody marched up again until he got them filled. They were going to have a healing meeting, and he said, okay, we're going to heal all those, I don't remember what it was, all those that have headaches, we're going to heal you tonight. Cancer, we're going to do on Friday. If you got cancer on Tuesday, too bad, you got to come back on Friday. Hope you make it. What I'm saying is, religion offers a lot of things telling you that if you come to Christ, you'll never suffer pain. You'll not die even. You're going to be healed of all your problems, all your difficulties. And I look around this room, and how many prayer requests? I've got an ache. I've got a pain. Yeah? And it never seems to go away. And we have loved ones, husbands and wives and children dying daily. Yeah. So a false interpretation of the scripture is jumping the gun and saying, I shall not want. I shall not want. It's not reality. And that's why I read that scripture, is because there's so many people, they're going after their own lusts instead of the will of God. And how do people interpret the scripture? You remember when Jesus said, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it again. What was the false interpretation? You're going to destroy this temple? He wasn't talking about the temple made with hands. He was talking about the temple of his body. Yet, even at his trial, they stood up and said, this man said that thou that destroys the temple and builds in 3 days, save thyself. Wrong interpretation. Wrong conclusion. And if you come to this psalm and you jump right to the end, I shall not want, and rub your hands together and say, oh boy, I'm liking this. This is good news for me. You've missed the boat. You've missed the boat. How about the time, do you remember when Paul, he was on the island, he'd reach in for a stick or something and a serpent reached up and bit him? The immediate assumption of the barbarians, all those around him, I have it here quoted from the scripture, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. Isn't it amazing how we make false assumptions? That's what I'm trying to tell you. Be careful how you read the scriptures, because if you're not reading it in context, sorry Bill, context, you can reach a wrong conclusion and build your life on the wrong things. If you read this verse and you immediately come to the end, I shall not want, you miss a whole lot of information. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jesus said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. One thing where the scriptures define the power of God, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The good news that Christ came into the world and died on the cross. Rose, died on the cross for your sins, my sins, and rose again the third day. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God said, thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. I will reprove thee. Too many times we make God in an image of our own thinking. We think that God, we come to God with our own imaginations. And we don't come to God as He is. The way you see God will determine how you interact with God. If you think God is a candy machine and you can go up to it and push a button that you want, I want number 4 because I want Hershey's chocolate, or number 5 because you want payday, you think that's a good one. So a lot of people think of God as a Santa Claus. You come to Him, no matter how you behave, and He's going to give you a present. Well, God is not that way. God is not an imagination of your thought. God is revealed to us in the Scriptures, and we have to come to Him His way. It's His way or the highway, by the way. Picking and choosing parts of God's characters that please us is dangerous for our soul. God is not a vending machine. He's not a Santa Claus. He's the Lord. And so this psalm starts off with, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Do you know Him? Do you know the Lord? Do you know who He is? Who is the Lord? Before we ever get to the comfort of the verse, we must stand in awe of the verse. Before we ever get to the rejoicing what the verse promises, we must tremble at He who introduced the promise. Before we ever get the blessings of God, we got to know God. Yes, sir. And the Bible starts off that He is the Lord. Do you know Him? He's the one that stretched out the heavens like a curtain. The one who holds the oceans in the hollow of His hand. He's the one that looketh on the earth and the earth trembleth. He's the one that touches the hills and they smoke with fire. He's the one whose name is, they asked Him, "What is your name?" He said, "I am that I am." That's my name. He said, "I am the Lord. I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them." His name alone is Jehovah, the Most High over all the earth. All those kings, Bill, He's over all. He's over the presidents. He's over the devil himself. He's over him. He is the mighty God. His name is Jehovah. And when you read your King James Bible, and you read your Bible, and you come across that little four-letter word, L-O-R-D, all capitalized, is talking about Jehovah God. Right. And He says, "The Lord, Jehovah God is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. Is He your Lord? In the book of Hebrews, He says, "So terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake," because he met God on a mountain. And he didn't just say, "I fear." He said, "I exceedingly fear and quake." Have you ever been really afraid? Now, I'm sure most of you don't suffer from anxiety, but those that do, it can grab hold of you and make you so you can't move. My children, bless their hearts, they tell me they love me. They drag me off to an amusement park and want me to get on a roller coaster. They don't know that the anxiety that overcomes me. And I said no. They persisted. And I said no. And they persisted. Finally I said, "Does it go upside down?" They said no. I said, "Okay, I can try that one." It wasn't long, that thing was going upside down. And my children are laughing. And I get off of that thing and I am a nervous wreck. When Moses saw the Lord, he was a nervous wreck. He was trembling. His guts were eating him out the inside and out. What do I do? I've come into the presence of an almighty God, Jehovah. That's right. The Lord. John saw Him and he fell at His feet as dead. You remember that? Yes. Revelation chapter 1, when he looked at Him, he just fell down as a dead man, afraid to move. Nehemiah said, "O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, awe-inspiring. God is greatly feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. Too many times we have a created God in our own mind. Let me tell you something. God is a creator, but He's not the creation of your mind. God is the Lord, and the Lord is God. And the psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Do you know Him? Do you know the Lord? Many people want the shepherd who will feed them, comfort them, protect them, provide for them, but they do not want a Lord who commands them, disciplines them, and directs their paths. They want the benefits of the fold without the submission of the sheep. They want the comfort without commitment. They want blessings without bowing. Before we can appreciate the tenderness of the shepherd, we must first tremble at the holiness of the Lord,
yes,
without which no man can be saved. Do you know that God is holy?
Amen.
Do you know how holy God is? He's so holy, He has to humble Himself to look at you. How about that? Too many times people are trying to approach God on their own terms. Did you know you can't get to God on your own terms? He demands absolute surrender. No conditions. No conditions. I've met many a person. I'm willing to serve God as long as I can keep my music. I'll serve God as long as I can keep my vices. I'll serve God as long as I can keep beer in my refrigerator. I'll serve God as long as... Nope, not you. Not you. He's not taking you. He's asking, He's not only asking, He's demanding absolute surrender. Not your way, God's way. We don't like that. We like it that God will just accept everybody. No, He doesn't accept everybody. He doesn't.
Amen.
He doesn't accept everyone. He doesn't like you. I know that's sort of offensive, but he doesn't like you. It's amazing that He even spends time with us. The problem you and I have is we're arrogant. We think we're something.
Amen.
We think God owes us. What I'm trying to tell you is God doesn't owe us anything.
Amen.
He's the Lord.
Amen.
He is I am that I am. He's Jehovah.
Amen.
The Bible tells, I'll just give you a few verses if you want to follow along if you can. Proverbs 15:29, I have a whole list here. The Lord is far from the wicked.
Amen.
You thought He was close, right? After all, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Isn't He close? He says He's far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. The psalmist said, pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name. How's that for a prayer? In the New Testament, Paul wrote, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. That's going to be a glorious time, right? Listen to the rest of it. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. How about that? How about that? Did you know that God demands you to know Him? He wants you to know Him. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. I include myself, we want a co-pilot. We want a stewardess that we can call and bring us refreshments. We don't want the Lord. We want somebody that we can dictate and demand of Him, come to Him when we want Him, but we don't want to submit to Him. But He's the Lord.
Amen. Yes, sir.
In the book of John in chapter 3, I encourage people, especially young people, to, if you've never read the Bible, I would encourage you to read the Gospel of John. Read through it a few times. Look what he says in chapter 3, because John chapter 3 is that great verse. Everybody know that verse, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you notice in that verse includes something that's very important? That without Christ you're perishing? If God did not love you, you would perish. Did you notice that? But God so loved you. He loved the unlovable. He died for the wicked. He died for the ungodly. This is the amazing thing about God. But He is the Lord. He does it His way and not your way. A little bit farther in John chapter 3, the very last verse, He says, "He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but what? But the wrath of God abides on him." The wrath of God? Have you ever read the Bible where God was angry? God looked down in the days of Noah. He said, "I have had enough of this." He said, "I'm going to destroy it with a flood." God sent a couple angels into Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, "I've had enough of this." And He rained down fire from heaven. God's not playing with sin. You and I play with sin. We find pleasure in it, not God. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And if you want the blessings of God, you've got to come to the Lord. In Matthew chapter 7, He tells us in verse 22, "Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." All right, let me ask you something. Be honest with yourself. I'm asking you, not your neighbor, not your husband, not your wife, not your child. I'm asking you, I'm asking you, not me, you, I'll ask myself, but you, ask yourself, what works have you done? Have you prophesied in His name? Have you done any preaching? You say, "You know it." "No, I haven't." Have you cast out any devils in His name? These are mighty works, aren't they? People tell you, you got to work your way to heaven. You got to do three things. What have you done? Have you prophesied in the name of the Lord? Have you cast out demons in the name of the Lord? Devils in the name of the Lord? What is it that you've done? What are you glorying in? Have you done many wonderful works? What have you done? Put yourself on the God scale and see what you've done. These people, they've done some great and mighty things. But in the very end of the judgment day, Jesus said, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." Do you see how important it is? It's not so much that you know God, but does God know you? Amen. "Yeah, but I'm doing things in His name." But does He know you? "Yeah, but I've cast out demons in His name." But does He know you? "But I've done many wonderful works in His name." But does He know you? Are you known of God? He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Did you know the shepherd knows the sheep? Did you know that? Jesus said this in John chapter 10. We can pick it up in verse 25. He says, "I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe not. Because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Amen. Did you see that? The shepherd knows the sheep. And you've got a problem because God told you and you don't believe. God wrote it down in a book and you don't believe it. You say, man wrote that book. Man wrote every book you've ever read. And yet you believe those books. You used to pick up the San Antonio Express and you would read the newspaper and you would believe every headline. You'd believe it. Now you YouTube it or you Google it and you watch it online and you believe it. You believe the words of man, but you won't believe the words of God. And somehow you think if you push number 5, God is going to give you a payday. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Do you know him? Does he know you? There's a great promise. It's my favorite verse in the Bible, by the way. It's in Romans in chapter 10 and verse 13. It says, whosoever... Who's that? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Let me tell you, my friend, I was walking in this life ignorant of God. God was not in all my thoughts. The Bible was not in our, well, it may have been our home, but I never saw it. Rarely would I go to church. I went a few times with my cousins. Went to a Lutheran church for a while. Actually studied a little of the catechism. Learned about the Ten Commandments in catechism. Then I thought, I'm in big time trouble. I haven't kept any of these. I thought I had hope when he said there was only ten, but then I started reading them. I thought, I'm in big time trouble. I sort of gave up on religion. I knew that I was not good. And after my parents divorced, I started running the streets doing things that I'm ashamed of to mention. But thankfully, by the grace of God, one night I came to myself. Unfortunately, that night I wasn't seeking God. I just came to myself and realized the vanity of this life. I told my buddies, you keep on going. I'm done. Because I took a look down the road and I thought, you know, if I keep on running these guys, I'm going to end up in jail. And after I did a couple things and got caught and they beat the tar out of me, I thought I might be dead too. I don't like this road. I don't know which road is better, but there's got to be a road better than this one. I'm not going down this road anymore. And I made a decision that night. I am not going this way anymore. Unfortunately, I didn't know God. But that night I said, I'm going to go get me a job. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get off the streets and I'm going to go get a job. And I went to Hardee's Hamburgers and turned in my application and he hired me on the spot. Mr. Spock. Interesting name, right? Mr. Spock. He hired me. First day on the job, I'm working with these two young ladies, Stacy and Gwendolyn. Can't remember Stacy's last name, but Gwendolyn Higgins. They were too happy for me. I knew they were taking something, so I figured I gotta get to know them, maybe I can get in on the action. And the more I got to know them, I found out that they were Christians. They were born again, Bible-believing Christians. They knew the Lord, and the Lord knew them. And they had joy that I could not explain. I said, there's something you got that I want to find out about. And they pulled out a Bible out of their purse. Who carries a purse in their, who carries a Bible in their purse? Christians do. Let's check your purses, ladies. Let's go see. Gentlemen, you carrying a Bible around? There might be a lost soul, a sinner that needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way to know him is through the scriptures. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Do you know him?
Yeah.
Are you talking to some people that don't know him? Are you a witness on the job? You know what attracted me to those young ladies? Not that they were Bible-thumping preachers. That they lived something that I didn't have. They had life.
Amen.
They had joy. And both of them came from divorced parents, just like I was. And that boggled my mind. How can you be joyous? Why aren't you bitter like I am? Why aren't you angry at your parents like I am? What is going on? How is it you can be happy? Where did you get this joy? And they opened up the Word of God and they told me about a lamb.
Amen.
That came into the world, Jesus Christ, the Lord God Almighty, manifest in the flesh, and went all the way to the cross and died on the cross for sinners like me.
Amen.
They asked me, do you know you're a sinner? Oh yeah, I know I'm a sinner. Did you know that the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? And I looked at that and I knew exactly what whosoever meant. That meant me. That if I would call upon the name of the Lord, he would save me. And I went home that night and I called upon the Lord and I said, Lord, I want to be saved. And God saved me. And I was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and now God knows me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What a glorious thing. Do you know Him? Do you know the Lord? You can know Him this morning if you call on His name. Oh, what a change. The terrible Job became a tender shepherd. The consuming fire became the caretaker of my soul. This is the blessed privilege of everyone that is born again. That the Lord becomes your shepherd. What a glorious thing. But isn't that a contradiction? The Lord, Jehovah, the consuming fire, the one that told Moses, get your shoes off your feet, you're on holy ground. The one that John looked at and he fell at his feet dead. The one that Moses looked at and he trembled exceedingly. The Lord became a shepherd. Let me tell you something, before he ever became a shepherd, he became a lamb. The Lamb of God for us. He is the Lord. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. It's no good for you and I if the Lord is not your shepherd. But notice there, he doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He could have said that. He doesn't say the Lord is the shepherd of Israel. I think he does say that somewhere else. But the psalmist writes, the Lord is my shepherd. Did you know the difference between Christianity, true Christianity, and religion? True Christianity is personal. We don't just say God is our Savior, Jesus Christ is a Savior. We say He's my Savior. Can you say that this morning? Is He your Savior? Can you say honestly before God and men, He is my Savior? Can you say I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb? Can you say that? Hallelujah. Amen. Is He your Savior? Is it personal with you? Has He saved you? My dearly beloved wife told some Roman Catholic priests that were sitting at our dinner table. She had graciously prepared a meal for them and me. I was really thankful she prepared it for me too. It was good food. But those Roman Catholic priests sat at the table, and my wife in her wisdom said, gentlemen, you have to understand that God is not a grandfather. He's a father. You don't get into heaven because mommy was a believer. You get into heaven because you've been born again personally. You must be born again is what Jesus said. So the question is He your Savior? Yes, we all acknowledge Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. But is He your Savior? Do you know Him as your Savior? The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. Is He your shepherd? After knowing the Lord, He becomes your shepherd, and you can say true for the Lord is my shepherd, then the good part, I shall not want. What a blessing that is. I shall not want. I shall not want. This old English word doesn't mean you're not ever going to have a desire or a want of something. It means you're not going to be lacking. You're not going to lack the things that you need. God is going to supply. Did you know He takes care of the sparrow? Did you read that? That's why Jesus said, seek ye the kingdom of God first. Priorities. You shall not want for forgiveness. The blood of Jesus has paid it all. You shall not want for guidance. He leads you in the path of righteousness. You shall not want for rest. He makes you to lie down in green pastures. You shall not want for restoration. He restoreth your soul when you wander. You shall not want for protection. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, He's with you. You shall not want for provision. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. You shall not want for eternal security, because goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a place to live, in the house of the Lord. I would dare say, I would adventure to say that if you came to church because mama pulled your ear and it's not a joy for you, you need to know the Lord. Because once you know the Lord and the Lord knows you and He's your shepherd, you want to hang around Him. And He says, where two or three are gathered in My name, there am I in the midst of them. But I did a little reading on sheep. I'm not a farmer. As my wife says, I'm a Yankee from the city. I had two negatives against me going into it. A Yankee and from the city. But I convinced her that I could ride any horse she had, and she put me on a horse that had never been ridden. It was worth it. I got her. I got her. So I did some reading on sheep. Sheep are supposed to be intelligent, but they're really dumb. They can recognize your face. But at the same time, they'll put their head through a fence and get it stuck. There's a lot of things that they tell me that sheep are smart in a lot of areas, but they are dumb at the same time. Do you ever know any smart people that are dumb? Huh? You know any people like that? They got college degrees, but they're dumb. Pregnant sheep. Some of you ladies, you've been there. They will fall over and can't get up. I got invited to a baby shower. I didn't think men were supposed to be invited to a baby shower, but they invited me, so I went. That was a mistake. No, I'm just kidding. It was very interesting. I really had a good time. Until the competition. They put a big old balloon inside our shirts, all the men. Big old balloon. They said, with this big old balloon inside your shirt, you have to sit down and take off your shoes. Do you know how hard it is to take off your shoes with a big old balloon inside your shirt? They said after you take your shoes off, you got to put them back on. Do you know how hard it is to get your shoes back on with a big old balloon in your shirt? Then they said after you get your shoes back on, you got to squat down. I can't even squat down without a balloon, but you got to squat down with this big old balloon in your shirt, and you got to walk and race over and get something and bring it back. Do you know how hard it is to squat down with a big old balloon? Ladies, yeah, can I get amen on that? Amen. Well, what these shepherds or these sheep herders wrote, that when a pregnant sheep falls down, it can't get up. It will roll over on its back and all four legs will stick in the air and it'll just kick and kick and kick. And it will lay there and die without a shepherd. Did you know that God compares you to a sheep? Yep. Sorry to tell you, you're dumb. I read a story, I don't remember the number, something like 360 sheep died because the lead sheep jumped off a cliff. And all the other dumb sheep followed that one and jumped off too. Do you know that, it's crazy. Do you know that people, Jesus mentioned something. He said it like this, the blind lead the blind and they both fall in a ditch. I look around the room and I see some pretty dumb people. It may be you, it may not be. I don't know. What I'm saying is we're willing to follow somebody into error because we're dumb. Sheep are followers. And so the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. And Jesus said, He's the good shepherd. Amen. And that ought to be a blessing to you, my brother. He's a good shepherd. A good shepherd don't lose the sheep. The good shepherd don't let the pregnant sheep sit there with their legs in the air flopping around to the die. A good shepherd will go get that sheep and pull his head out of the fence. And a good shepherd will not let one sheep lead all the other sheep over the cliff. We have a good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You follow religion, it'll lead you off the cliff. But you follow Christ and it'll lead you to green pastures. A good shepherd provides three things: provision, protection, and direction. He provides green pastures, rest and nourishment for the soul. He provides still waters, peace that the world cannot give and cannot take. He provides right paths, not the most comfortable paths, but the right ones.
That's right.
Even when they lead through the valley. He says here, my Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's your shepherd.
Amen.
Is he your Lord?
Yes, sir.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
Man, how about that for a shepherd? The Lord God Almighty for a shepherd. He said in the Old Testament, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. What a shepherd. The apostle Peter said, for even thereunto we are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self bare our sins and his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live on the righteousness by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now I return unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he yours? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In conclusion, in Hebrews, he says, now the God of peace, that have brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of an everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in the sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Do you know him this morning? Do you know the Lord? He's watching you. Do you know the Lord? He's actually calling you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's the good shepherd. His sheep know his voice. Do you know his voice? Have you heard his voice? He's given you the word of God. Have you heard the word of God? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you come into this room without hope and without salvation? Then glory to God, you've had an opportunity to know the Lamb. The Lamb of God. You get an opportunity to know the Lord, the Savior of the world. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't want you to leave this room without the Lord Jesus Christ being your Lord. Because he wants to be your shepherd. He died, he laid down his life for the sheep. What a good shepherd. He's not a hireling. He's not in it for the money. He's not interested in your money. He is interested in your soul. He gave it all on the cross of Calvary so that you might be saved. Would you come to him? Would you come to him and bow down before him and say, you're the Lord. Not me. You're the Lord. If you don't know the Savior, don't walk out these doors this morning. Come to me. Say, I don't know the Savior. I want to know him. And I'll introduce you to the Lord. I will open up the Bible just like Gwen Higgins did some 50 years ago for me. and show you that you can be saved. If you want to know more about the Bible, we will do everything we can to teach you the Bible. We will have private Bible studies just for you. We will leave the comfort of our home and drive to wherever you're at and sit down in your living room with the Bible and show you the Word of God if you're interested. He says, come. He says, come. Don't be a dumb sheep. Listen to the voice of the shepherd. He's calling you. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word.